So when we look at our individual sticky notes just by ourselves, we know that that message, that word of hope or that word of encouragement is going to mean something to one person. But when we see them all up here, when we look up on the screen and see all these affirmations, all these encouragements, all these pieces of good news, we start to get a sense of how our words are connected, how our lives are connected, and how much of a difference we're all making. When we leave this place, when we go home, when we go out to lunch, when we are out in the community serving, when we're in our school, when we're in our places of work, when we're intentional about the words that we use to be a force for good in the world, we're reminded of all the positive things we can say. We're reminded of how the words we use are a testimony to the faith that we carry with us each and every day. We're reminded that we together are representatives of Christ in the world, and that the words we say, the actions we take, the beliefs we share matter, because they represent who we are and who Christ is to us. I'm grateful that you all did something new and did this little exercise with me, because it encourages me. It encourages me. I have a little bit of talking to do in my daily life, in my parenting and in my work as a pastor, and I feel like I'm always encouraging people, always doing my best to uplift people who are in need, whether they're in the hospital, whether they're working in a committee, whether they're seated in chairs just like you are on Sunday morning. I'm always doing my best to use my words intentionally so that they can be a gift, so they can be a force for good. And today I'm reminded that I'm not alone in that work, that you all are doing that also. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. When I work with couples who are getting ready to get married, I often ask them to read a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And what it asks you to do is take this short little survey so it figures out how you best receive love in your daily life. Perhaps some of you have taken this survey and you know what your love language is. Love languages are ways that we experience love the most acutely, the most intimately. And so they can be things like physical touch, like a hug or a kiss helps us to feel loved. They can be acts of service. So like if my husband unloads the dishwasher, oh, I just know that he loves me so much when he's doing that. Other ways of experiencing love are spending quality time together. When you make a point to have a date night, or when you settle down at the end of the day and you put your phone away and you want to spend quality time with your spouse on the couch, that can be a love language. Another love language is gifts. Gifts that we can buy at the store, that we can wrap up and put in a box or a bag and hand to someone and know that the intentionality and the thought that went into that gift is the way that we express love for one another. And one of the most common love languages I find working with couples is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation really help couples feel connected to one another. If they get a text midday, maybe while your spouse is on your lunch break, that says, "Hey, beautiful, just thinking of you, want you to know that I love you," that can mean the world. Words of affirmation can be just like the sticky note that little girl found in her locker, probably from her mom or her dad, somebody who needed her to remember that day that she is amazing. Words of affirmation can be something that you hear at the end of a hard day, like, "Wow, I really liked how you solved that problem. I really liked how you helped our son work through that math assignment. I really appreciated what you just did for me there." Words of affirmation can make all the difference. Words, I found this illustration kind of funny, and maybe you will too. Once you give a gift of a word of affirmation, you can't take it back. It sticks with people, and they'll remember it. On good days and bad, they'll carry it with them like a note in their pocket. And they'll take it out when they most need to hear that words of affirmation. And they'll remember all these things. They'll remember that they are powerful, that they are best, that you are proud of them, that you brighten their day, that they are loved, that they are amazing, that you trust them, that their smile lights up the world, that they are awesome, that they give you hope, that they make you happy and laugh. Words are like toothpaste. Because once it's out, you can't put it back in the tube. Toothpaste is sticky and it's gloppy and sometimes it's messy. But once the words are out, you can't take them back. You can't put them back in the tube. That goes for words that are positive and uplifting, and that also goes for words that are negative and discouraging, for words that do harm. I was remembering a time in my life when I was in swim practice, and I was a freshman in high school. And as a freshman in high school, I was a pretty insecure person. I was small. I was very petite. I was covered in acne. If you can imagine. Of course you can. You can imagine that. I was covered in acne, and on the swim team, I was slow. Our coach had us divided into groups according to our speed so that when we would do exercises together, when we would do sets of exercises together, we would all kind of move at the same pace. And so I was always in lane 6, which was the slowest lane. That was the turtle speed lane. And I was not only in lane 6, but I was the second person in lane 6. So I was not even the first slowest person, but I was the second slowest person. Okay, I was really very slow. What is what I'm trying to communicate with you? And one day I found myself doing my set, doing my stroke, and I was always touching the toes of the girl in front of me, the first person in lane 6. And so when we got to the front of the wall and we had a chance to go again to swim our next length of the pool, I asked her if I could go first because I didn't want to have it be awkward that I was always touching her toes and kind of right at nipping at her heels, you know what I mean? And she said, sure, you can go first. And then I got to the wall next, and my coach looked down at me and he says, Erin, you're ready to move up to lane 5. You're doing awesome today. And I want you to try it out in lane 5. So I carefully took a deep breath and went whoop, right under the lane marker. And I moved up to lane 5. And then I started swimming with those girls. I was the slowest person in lane 5, but I had moved up. And sooner or later, what do you know? I was hitting my sweet spot again. I was in a groove where I was just paddling and I was working hard. And I started tickling the toes of the girl in front of me in lane 5. For whatever reason, I had a lot of adrenaline and a lot of energy that day, and I was just cooking with gas. I was really going fast. And so when we got to the wall, I asked her, I said, would you mind if I went in front of you this time? Because I don't want it to be awkward that I'm tickling your toes, that I'm nipping at your heels. And this girl, I didn't know her very well, but she kind of had a reputation for being a bully in our school when we had our clothes on and when we were in class. And it turns out she was the same way in the pool. She said, no, go back to lane 6. You don't belong here. She was mean to me. But those words stuck with me. So I took another deep breath. I went back under the lane marker. I went back to my second spot as the second slowest person in lane 6. And for the rest of that set, I found myself holding back. I found myself not trying as hard. I found myself not wanting to give as much because those negative words had stuck with me. She said, no, who do you think you are? You don't belong here. Go back. Go back. After practice that day, my coach came up to me, having seen what happened and observed how it changed my behavior. He said, I'm sorry that happened. I want you to know that I'm proud of you for trying hard, for doing your best. And I want you to know that I'm also proud of you for the ways that you befriend the other girls in lane 6. No matter how slow, no matter how scrawny, no matter how bad of a day they've had, you always make sure that when you're in lane 6, every other girl feels at home there with you. Every other girl on your team knows that when they jump in the water in lane 6, they've got a friend there because you're there. So those words that I had heard in lane 5 kind of beat me down a little bit. They didn't make me feel good. They were discouraging. They set me back a little bit. They weren't motivating. They didn't make me want to try as hard. But by the end of the day, I was built back up again because of the power of words. Not the words that the bully said to me, but the words that my coach said to me. He told me he was proud of me. He told me I was a good friend. He told me I knew how to build community in a sport where you spent most of your time underwater. He told me that my purpose in that lane was one that helped others. Eventually, fast forward a little bit, by my senior year, I'm the captain of the swim team. Still very slow, okay? You don't get to be captain as Aaron Fitzgerald by being fast. But I think that experience helped me grow. The words that I heard that day connected with me on a very deep level. And so as I grew as a leader, as I grew as a woman of faith, as I grew as an athlete, I knew that I had a job to do to make sure that every girl on that team felt encouraged, felt empowered, felt uplifted, felt purpose. I didn't know anything about Paul's letter to the Ephesians on that day. I didn't know about the verse that said, say only what helps because every word is a gift. I never had anyone really ask me to watch the way I talked or tell me about words of affirmation as a love language. But you get to a point where you start to internalize the messages you hear. And then you start to reflect the things you hear like a mirror reflects an image so that other people can see what they can see and hear what they need to hear. I'll tell you one more story, and that is when I was teaching kindergarten in an elementary school, there was a poster that hung outside my classroom. I didn't put it there. I think my principal did. But that poster was a poster about bullying. It was a poster that had to be put up in order to remind kids that how they behave in the hallway and how they talk to one another at their lockers and at their cubbies matters. And even before my kindergartners knew how to read, I taught them what this poster meant. It said, before you speak, think. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Before you speak, think. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And as simple as I think that is, I think it's a pretty good goal for us to think about as well. Whenever we think we have something to say, we want to make sure that we're being intentional with our words. We want to make sure that our words are going to do good. We want to make sure that our words are going to be a gift and be a representation of Jesus Christ and his love. So before we speak, we need to think. Is what I'm about to say true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? So this week, as you go from this place, I want you to take your sticky note with you. Take that little note with you and give it to whomever it's intended for. Perhaps it's intended for your spouse and you just need to put it up on your bathroom mirror or up on the refrigerator door. Maybe you need to write a card and mail it to somebody. maybe you need to get your phone back out and text that note to someone to share their word of affirmation, their encouragement. And then as you go throughout your week, be mindful of the things that you say. Be mindful of how your words have an impact in the lives of others. And keep these three questions in mind. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Will you pray with me? Oh God, you give us an incredible word in the story of your son's life played out in human history. It's a word that tells us about how much we are loved, how in spite of all the things we do and say that are wrong and that are hurtful, you continue to pour out your blessings on us. So we continue to draw near to you. We draw near to you today, O God, and we offer you all that we have and all that we are. We offer you our whole lives. We offer you the gift of our time, the gift of this hour. And as we come together as a community of faith, today we offer you the gift of knowing that everything that we pour out to you in praise is meant to be a blessing. It's meant to put a smile on your face, O God. We choose our words intentionally. We choose our songs intentionally. And we choose how we spend our time intentionally. So as we go forth from this place today, O God, help us to also be intentional with our words, to do good, to share life and love with others, to lift each other up and encourage each other along on this journey of faith. Help us to share words and also help us to listen. Help us to listen for the people who are in need, the people who are feeling broken and burned out, the people who have yet to hear of your love, then help us to share it with them. We ask all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.